Thank you for that song. I wonder if we would sing number 434 in the hymnal. 434, Come Thou Almighty King. Thank you. Come, thou incarnate Word, gird on thy mighty sword. Come, and thy people bless, and give thy Word success. Spirit of holiness, on us descend. This evening, my little burden is incarnate Word. I'd like to talk just a moment about words, language. It's the way that we express our thoughts and our ideas to one another. It's the way that we convey our heart or our will with people, with one another. It's our mode of communication. It's how I express to you my desire, my need, my request. It's how you express to me the response to my desire and need. You can verbally do that, or you can do it with actions. This evening I'm speaking concerned mostly about, right this moment, our words, our communication. Many years ago, I worked for a major delivery company for almost 27 years. One day I was out on my route and I made a delivery to an upholstery shop where this older gentleman reupholstered furniture. I walked up to the place of business. It was a shed, and I could get no response from anyone. I was told before I ever left the building that there's always someone there. You may have to look for somebody, but there's always someone there. Don't leave until you make contact with someone. So I looked and I looked and I yelled, I got a package, and I could get no one to respond to me. Finally, a lady walks up, and I spoke to her, and she nodded her head, and she went back into the shop and brought a gentleman out. And this man was blind, deaf, and dumb. And he reupholstered furniture. Now, I see many of you with your eyebrows raised. Mine were too. I saw the work that this man did, and I was amazed that someone who was blind and deaf and dumb could do this work. And I couldn't help but afterward, anytime I would go by there, I would take a little time to watch this man and see how he did his work. But when I was trying to express to them that I had a package for this much money, this amount that had to be paid, the woman who was there was also mute, and she was able to read my lips. And she communicated to the gentleman by tapping in the palm of his hand. She tapped away in the palm of his hand. He turned and walked away. He went to the back. He counted out money, brought it to me, counted it back to me, the exact amount. I was in awe. And I said thank you to the woman. She tapped a thank you in his hand. I left. You know, it's pretty amazing the way that people have found to communicate. You may be familiar with the woman named Helen Keller and Ann Sullivan. Helen Keller was a woman that was born blind and deaf and dumb. Ann Sullivan was a woman who had disease in her early years, and she was severely impaired by her vision. But she was one who taught Helen Keller how to communicate. And there was at some point in her life some level of verbal exchange, but that was really not the essence of it. Miss Sullivan taught Helen Keller how to communicate. And I remember, as a boy, I was in my parents' home, and if you'll give me this liberty for a moment, I remember sitting in the living room, and there was a movie concerning Helen Keller. And Helen Keller was, at that point of her life, was one wretched individual. Mean, ugly, hateful. But Miss Sullivan kept persisting with her. And there was a time that she brought Helen Keller out to a well, and she began to pump water into her hand, into her face, all over her, and she kept tapping out in her hand, water, water, water. And you could suddenly see in the portrayal that it's like the light bulb came on in Helen Keller's mind, water. This is water. And she began at that point to run to different places around the farm. She went to a tree and grabbed the tree. And Miss Sullivan tapped out tree. She tapped it out two or three times, tree. And she got the message there. She fell down on the ground and patted all over the ground. And she tapped out grass in her hand. Things like that. It is amazing the world that opens up to an individual to have the ability to communicate on any level. If there is no ability to communicate, there's something that is absolutely, vastly lost. I'm so thankful that God has been able to communicate His will with you and me. We just sang the song, number 434, Come Thou Almighty King. And the one line of that says, Come Thou Incarnate Word. Incarnate means to be invested with flesh. The other evening back home, we were in prayer meeting service, and that song was called, and it was like, for the moment, the light bulb went off in my head. Incarnate Word. Gird on thy mighty sword. And I sat there for a moment and I thought, what it meant for the Word to become flesh for you and me. Now we might say, well, you should have already had a grasp of that. I'll tell you, folks, when God chooses to communicate a part of Himself to us, it is a real blessing. Amen. And what God has done through Jesus is He became incarnate and was willing to come communicate to you and me. Now, I believe that the Lord Jesus came to this earth for, there are many reasons. I'll name three that seem primary to me. One was for the salvation of men's souls. Two was to show us the heart of God. And three was to show us how we could live in this world in a fleshly body and deal with the pressures of life and sin around us. So I'd like to turn to the book of John, the first chapter, read a few verses here. At this point in the Apostle John's life, he was way up in years, according to the historians and what I can gather by looking at the commentaries, that is probably toward the close of the first century when John wrote this gospel. He was an old man. Probably this was written after the book of Revelation, after he had been exiled to the Isle of Patmos. John was a man that walked with the Lord. He beheld His glory. He beheld the miracles. He heard the words. And I'm going to share with you a little private moment. Probably many of you can relate to this, especially if you have a little frosting of gray in your hair, or if you've started to rear some children. You're starting to find out that life can look different when you get maturity. When you start to look back over your life, it looks different than it did 30, 40 years ago. There's a change in things. I believe that John, while he was enamored with and absolutely loved the Lord Jesus and was close to Him, the Scripture tells us that he was one that the Lord loved. He leaned on the Lord's bosom. That there wasn't a special relationship with Him. But I look at it now, I believe that as John was an old man now, looking back over his life and recalling the things that the Lord said, recalling the things that he had seen and what the Lord had done, that it took on a little bit of a different light in his mind and in his ability to express it. I find those chapters in the book of John where Jesus was praying in the garden, spending his last hours with the disciples, some of the most intriguing words. The words where Jesus spoke to them, and it seems as though John had those indelibly printed in his mind for all of those years. So much so that when the time came that he had thought it all out, probably had gone over in his mind many, many times, and decided, I'm going to write all this down. I thank God that he did.
Amen.
So, Book of John, first chapter. We begin reading with the first verse. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Now, as we read through this, let's keep in mind that the Word became flesh. The incarnate Word. The Word that took on an embodiment of flesh. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Thank God, folks. As many as received him, he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You notice a little parenthesis in that 14th verse. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Would you turn back to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 17? Read a few verses here. Beginning with the first. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain, apart. And he was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. In the book of Luke it says it was glistering. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. John said, we beheld his glory. At that moment on the Mount of Transfiguration, things changed there for a while. I don't know what all took place, but there was a moment there where Christ, I believe that Christ was revealed and visible in the glory that God had bestowed upon him. The Scripture tells us there at that Mount of Transfiguration that Jesus stood there and he spoke with Moses and Elias. One place it speaks of them talking with him about his decease. Take a little side shoot here. I believe that Moses and Elias were encouraging Christ to go on. Go on. You are our hope. If you'll be true and you'll die for the sins of this world, it is our hope too. Because the Scripture tells us that Christ, there was a vision seen of him as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Amen. And that all hope for mankind rested upon Jesus fulfilling his mission. It also rested upon the Word being incarnate. I've heard the story many, many times, and you have too, about the time that Jesus was born in the manger, in the stable, in Bethlehem. And I've thought the different times about the virgin birth and how Mary was told that she would give birth to a child. And I've thought about the natural biological processes of all that, how it would take place. And I have meditated about the miracle of Jesus being born through flesh and taking on a fleshly body. But then as I began to read this and meditate about it, I thought how much greater miracle that really was. For the Word of God, who was in the beginning, that spoke all things into existence, to be willing to take on a form of a human body, to come down to this world for a little while and reveal to us, speak to us, communicate to us, however it may be, the will of God. Amen. And I read in the Old Testament how the law was a strict law. And how in the New Testament it says, the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And I read the account where the Pharisees and the scribes and Pharisees brought to Jesus the woman who was caught in adultery in the very act. And they said, now Moses and the law say she should be stoned. What do you say? And I've marveled at that. I've read that. I thought, oh, the compassion that Christ had on this poor woman. She was doomed. There was no hope for her. The law said she's got to be killed. But what do you say? What did the Word say? Remember, the Word was the real heart and the essence of God. If you ask me why it had to be that the law was so seemed so rigid and harsh, there are a lot of things, folks, I'm going to confess to you, I don't understand. Except it drew a real distinction between right and wrong. A real distinction that God was very dissatisfied with those things of adultery. I understand that, and I understand the Scripture says He's a jealous God. He said, you have no other gods before Me. And when we start the process of putting our wants, our wishes, and our desires ahead of God, He is right to be displeased with that. And He exacted a penalty for that. And He wanted to be very clearly understood that was not acceptable in any way to put anything before Him. So I understand that. But I look at this part. There came a time in the Scriptures, in the Old Testament, and the prophets, and even with Samuel and dealing with Saul, he said, I would rather that you obey than to give sacrifice, Saul. I'd rather you, instead of listening to the whims of the people and bowing to their pressures, I'd rather that you obey. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And there came a time when the Lord was weary with sacrifice. And He said, I'm no longer happy with the blood of bulls and goats. I'm not hungry for that anymore. It doesn't satisfy Me. And there was something else that the Lord wanted, that God wanted. And then there came the time when He was willing to impart His Word, His heart, His mind, the divine mind, to humanity by giving us His Word in a fleshly body. Now, I don't know what that does for you folks, but it blesses my soul to know the power of the Word. You remember, made reference to it this morning, when the disciples were rowing hard on the sea, and Jesus had let them go ahead for Him a while, and He was going to catch up with them later, and they were rowing hard on that sea, and He looked out over the scene, and He saw them, it was nighttime, He saw them rowing hard, and He went to them, and He spoke to them. As He got there, He said, peace be still. Peace be still. And the Scripture says there was a great calm. And the disciples said, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the seas, the waves, do obey Him? There was one place where the officers were sent out to arrest Jesus because they were trying to catch up with Him and get Him, hold Him, and charge Him for wrongdoing. And they sent out officers to arrest Him. And they went and they found Him teaching. And they listened to His words. And they came back. And they said, where is He? Why haven't you brought Him? They said, never did a man speak like this man. Never have I ever heard anything like this. I believe that when Jesus spoke on the seaside, I believe when He spoke in the ship, boat, wherever it was He spoke, I believe that the people were mesmerized by the words that He spoke, because it wasn't just words. It wasn't just like me standing here trying to preach this evening. It wasn't just words. It was God. It was God in a visible form. It was God speaking to humanity, His heart, the divine mind, His will. And it was something that if a heart was interested in and yearned for something like that, was hungry for it, it was something that was, it would be mesmerized by those words. Because there is power in those words. And I want us to look at that for just a moment. In the book of Genesis, Let's look at Hebrews first. Hebrews 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Praise God, folks. Thank the Lord. This is what Christ did. Being the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person, I believe this is referring to giving us a picture of God. Giving us an image of God. Now, the Scripture says, no man has seen God at any time. Well, Philip asked the Lord a question one time. He said, Lord, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. Jesus said, Philip, have I been so long time with you and you haven't seen the Father? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Again, words. We read those words. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Words that were spoken to us. You know, it's easy. It's easy for me. Probably many of you, most of you, are much more perceptive than I am. But it's easy for words to go right over my head. You don't think that? Ask my wife. Words can go right over my head. And reading this passage where Jesus said to Philip, Philip, I've been with you all this time. And if you, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. The light goes off in Philip's head. Well, it probably wouldn't have with me because I'm just a little too dull sometimes. And sometimes I believe as humanity, as human beings, we are dull. We can't help it. But it's because there are things that get by us, things that get around us because of our humanity, because of our limitations. And how wonderful it is for the Lord to be able to take a moment of time and speak to the heart of an individual and make a change. You've probably had this kind of experience. And if you have and you feel like raising your hand just in affirmation to it, that would be all right. I'd be glad to see it because I'd like to just know if it's so. But I've had this experience myself where I would ask the Lord for something and be seeking the Lord and have my mind and my heart open throughout the day. Just, Lord, whenever you want to speak, I'd like for you to speak to me. And I have had Him come by and speak in a few seconds something that would take me days to unravel in my mind. That's the power of God. You see, that's the ability of God to communicate in just a few words. And I've thought many times, ooh, I need to pull over and write this down. Or I used to carry a little recorder with me. And I would push that little button on that voice recorder and I'd start talking into it. And you know, when I played it back, you know what it sounded like? Dull. Because it was my words. It wasn't the words of God, but when the words of God come down and speak to the heart, it enlightens you, it enlivens you, it illuminates you. It makes you, it does something different than what just literal speech can do. It's wonderful for us to be able to commune with one another and communicate with one another. But how beautiful it is that God chose a medium that He could communicate to the heart of mankind because He made us to be at union with Him. He made us to be at one with Him. He made us to be in a place that as He created Adam and Eve in that garden, He came down to speak with them, talk with them in the cool of the day. I don't know what all that was. I don't know. I would love to know more about what that communication was. The awe that Adam and Eve must have felt standing in the presence of an Almighty God. The language that was there. I don't know much about that language. But apparently, it was a very pure, complete language that was unmistakable. That when Adam and Eve heard the voice of God, they knew who it was. You know, I believe it's still that same way today. I believe that when the Lord comes by to speak to us, it's unmistakable who it is. Now, I know the enemy likes to get involved and he likes to work in his shadows of darkness and clouds and mists and things of that nature. And I've counseled individuals before saying, well, I don't know if it was the voice of the Lord or if it was the enemy trying to lead me astray. And I say to them, always, always, if there is mist and clouds of confusion involved with it and anything of darkness, it is not God. It is the enemy. If there's ever confusion, things you don't understand, clouds, mists about it, it is the enemy of your soul. God says that He is light. There's no variableness in Him, nor shadow of turning. He does not change. So anytime that you feel that there's something in your mind that you're confused about, and you wonder, is that the Lord or is that the enemy? Or is that my own thoughts? Folks, be assured, if you're confused about it, it's not from the Lord. Because He speaks in direct, clear, understandable circumstances. A language that is a spirit language that God is able to communicate with you and me and help us to see and understand and know His will. God, who at sundry times, divers manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. Upholding all things by the word of His power. The word of His power. Now I want to go to Genesis. I'm not going to read the creation account. You know it. But the Scripture says, in the beginning, God created. And the Scripture tells us, and God said, let there be. The Scripture tells us that darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved, and the Hebrew word there means brooded. Brooded over the face of the waters. He hovered over it. He caused there to be a means of producing life. And then the Scripture says, and God said, let there be. And there was. Many accounts right here in this book of Genesis, chapters 1 and 2, God said, let there be, and there was. That was the Word. It was a communication of God calling things into existence. The Word. The Word of God. The spoken Word of God. The transformation of language into life. Language into life. There's something about the language. There's something about when Helen Keller was able to receive from Ann Sullivan the understanding that water. Water. You've been trying to communicate to me that this is water. Suddenly the light comes on in my mind and I realize this is water. Tell me more. Tell me more. Tell me what this is. Tell me this. Tell me this. The things that begin to open up because of communication to us. How wonderful it is, folks, that God has allowed there to be a channel of communication to us through Jesus Christ, through His Word. Through the Word. And we call the Word, this is the Word. Amen, it's the Word. But the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's the reason we have this Word. Because God wanted us to have communion with Him. He wanted us to be able to have communication with Him. He wanted us to be able to come to a place where we didn't even have to exchange words to have communion with Him. Have you ever been there? Absolutely, you have. If you love the Lord and you seek after Him and you've been in trials and tribulations, you've been in places where you didn't have words to say and you get on your face before the Lord and the words don't come, but there's a communion. There's a communion, there's a channel, there's an opening that the Lord has made for us to be able to communicate with Him.
Amen.
Thank the Lord, folks. In the book of Matthew, chapter 1, Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. Let that sink into your heart. God with us. Come thou incarnate word. Gird on thy mighty sword. Come and thy people bless, and give thy word success. Spirit of holiness, on us descend. How desperate we are for the Lord to come to us and speak to us. All things come forth. All things in the creation account came forth from an answer to the words of God. I'll say that again. Everything that was created, everything that we read about in the book of Genesis, chapters 1 and 2, that came forth, that came into existence, it came in response, in answer to the Word of God. "Let there be light. And there was light. Let there be a firmament. And there was a firmament. Let there be, and there was." Folks, this increases my faith. I still say, "Lord, increase my faith." But this increases my faith when I realize that all the Lord has to do is speak the Word, and the power that is in the Word, when He speaks, folks, things change.
That's right.
Things change. When the Lord begins to speak, the Lord begins to illuminate, things change. It makes a difference in the heart of an individual.
Amen.
Book of John, chapter 8. Verse 52. "Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, If a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets are dead, whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I should be a liar, like unto you. But I know him, and keep his sayings. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old. And hast thou seen Abraham? Oh, yes, I've seen Abraham. Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Before Abraham ever was, I was. Yes, I've seen Abraham. And your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. I believe that Jesus was telling these people that I was in heaven with the Father, and Abraham was in the bosom, and he saw the day that I was going to come down to this earth. He saw that I was going to come bring redemption to this earth. He saw that day, and he was glad. Because the Scripture tells us that Abraham believed God, and he counted him as being faithful, and God imputed that to him for righteousness. Because he believed. Oh, folks, how beautiful it is for our Heavenly Father to communicate to us His will.
Amen.
We sing a song that says, "It can make the dumb heart sing." I believe that. I believe that the Lord is able to reach down in the heart of an individual that has no ability to communicate verbally and make there be a communion with Him. And I believe that He has the ability to cause there to be an interaction between you and me and those of our fellow men who have the Spirit of Christ in them, and there is a communication that goes forth.
That's right.
I know you felt it. I know you've sensed it. I believe it comes from a language that is much more pure than any language that has ever been spoken or that we know about. It comes from a language that comes from our God out of heaven through the incarnate Word. That Word, that language is a pure language. And it is able to communicate and commune with us. I thank God, folks, how beautiful it is. Now, in John 17, remember, John wrote this gospel toward the close of his life. He recounted these things that was spoken to him. John 17, verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. You see, He's always been. He's always been a part of that triune fullness.
Yeah.
If you ask me to get technical in theology and try to explain all of that, you're asking the wrong person. Because I'm not going to be able to explain all of that to you in theology. But I believe it. And the reason I believe it is because I have felt the power of God. And the reason I believe it is because I have felt the workings of salvation of the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
And the reason I believe it is because I have heard the voice of His Spirit. Because the Spirit of God is the animating force of God. It's the thing that causes man to be able to hear that still small voice. The Scripture says the spirit of man is a candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. The spirit of man is a candle of the Lord that He is able to use to illuminate our minds. Folks, thank God for the incarnate Word. I don't know what you think about this little treatise this evening, these few words this evening. I trust that you're blessed. I trust that you're inspired. I trust that your faith is elevated because we serve a loving God who gave everything that He could possibly give to communicate His will to poor little things like you and me. He loved us so much. He wanted us to have that communion. He wanted to restore that place that He had with Adam and Eve. And thank God, folks, through the incarnate Word, He has restored that.
Amen.
The Scripture tells us there in Matthew, it said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." They shall be. And that comes through, it's not a bodily presence anymore. John said, "I beheld His glory. When I was with Him on the Mount of Transfiguration, I saw Him there. I saw Moses and Elias there. I saw His raiment that was glistering. I saw things that a man can't explain and can't express. And I heard the voice of God that said, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him.'" And nearly 60, 70 years, whatever it was later, He preserved those words for you and me.
Amen.
So we could have a little glimpse, a little insight into what God wants us to see of Him. Be encouraged, folks. He loves you. He cares about you. If you're in a place this evening where that communication hasn't been clear, I'll tell you this. The Lord knows how to deal with the soul. In just a moment, I'm going to take my place and sit down. We're going to sing a song. And the Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit, that part of God that communicates with man, is going to communicate with souls. If there's anything that you have need of, He's going to communicate to you. If you feel that tugging at your heart, if you feel that communication of God, if you feel the power of the Word reaching to you, let's respond. Let's respond. Let's come to an altar of prayer. Kneel down somewhere before the Lord and pour your heart out to Him. The power of the Spirit of conviction is a blessing of the Lord. It's not something to be shunned. It's not something to be cast aside. It's not something to see if I can just endure. It's something that God has chosen to use to communicate with the individual, to communicate His will with you. That's what the Lord wants to do. So if you feel that tug, if you feel that urging, respond. Appreciate your time and attention this evening. God bless each one. Amen.